OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Samantha Sock.
And I'm Michaela Rella. We have media news from six nations today: Brazil, Mauritius, Ivory Coast, Senegal, India, and Australia.
From Brazil, can the government stop kids from staring at screens in school all day?
Why is Brazil banned smartphones from the classroom?
We have media news from the East African island of Mauritius.
Why did the government of Mauritius block the internet and social media recently? Is the internet still shut down?
We have media news from the West African nations of Ivory Coast and Senegal.
Are social media platforms and influencers fueling homophobic violence in Senegal and the Ivory Coast?
From India, we have AI news.
Why is Microsoft a big player in Indian AI? What can Microsoft offer Indian business? Who are the major competitors investing in AI in India? Are they Indian tech companies or American tech giants like Microsoft?
From Australia, we have streaming news.
Can the Australian government force global streaming services to create Australian content? Will a quota for local content create a space and investment in Australian content?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
The Brazilian government is banning smartphones from the classroom. Why such drastic action? How does the government explain this action? How are Brazilians reacting? What do students and teachers have to say about this? Is there backlash? Hannah Rodriguez is following the news from Brazil for New Media Beat. Hannah, why are smartphones being banned in Brazil?
The push to ban smartphones in schools have been influenced by several different factors. These factors include lack of engagement in learning and dwindling attention spans. Brazilian news source Agência Brasil states that respondents have cited several negative effects of cell phone use in childhood, including technology addiction, heightened anxiety, and depression, along with sleep disturbances, decreased school performance, challenges in social relationships, and exposure to cyberbullying. These concerns reflect broader issues in Brazilian education, including the desire to improve academic outcomes and foster a healthier culture. The Ministry of Education in Brazil announced that it is drafting a bill to ban classroom cell phone use. The issue is also being debated in the Education Committee of the House of Representatives, according to Agência Brasil.
How is the protection of children used as a reason for media regulation in Brazil?
In Brazil, there has been an increasing analysis of smartphones' role in the classroom. Many experience their concerns over the issue of the protection of children. Many also express concerns that smartphones serve as a distraction in the classroom and reasoning for media regulation. 8 out of 10 adults believe that the school cell phone ban should be banned, and in addition, adults should be monitoring the time and content itself.
How do parents feel about this ban?
Parents are supporting the impact of smartphones on students' learning and behavior. In an article, a majority of parents supporting banning the cell phones in schools, they share the number of parents who believe that cell phones bring more harm than benefits to learning, and teenagers even higher. Parents also worry about the negative social effects of smartphones, including exposure to cyberbullying and mental health concerns. We need to monitor the time and content itself. We also need to be aware of what happens outside of the school walls, says Gabrielle Solani, quantitative research manager at the Locomotive Institute.
What does this ban tell us about how the Brazilian government regulates media and social media?
The Brazilian report shares that there are different rules for different levels of schooling. Members of the Education Committee in the lower house of Brazil's Congress passed a bill banning the use of phones in classrooms around the country. For example, nursery and elementary schools students will not be able to bring their cell phones to their school. The general policy regarding cell phone use in schools in Brazil shows that the government is gaining control in regulating media and technology in the interests of the students' well-being and academic success. Before the ban occurred, around the country already prohibited the use of cell phones in Brazilian schools. The Ministry of Education plans to revolutionize the Brazilian school environment with a new law that bans the use of cell phones as districts continue to enforce a cell phone ban effectively in classrooms. The smartphone ban in Brazilian classrooms also indicate a growing role for the government in regulating digital spaces, especially when protecting students from distractions and harmful content. For New Media B, I am Hannah Rodriguez. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Hannah. There's an island nation off the east coast of Africa. It's called east of Madagascar. The nation of 1.2 million people is called Mauritius. Jaden Nunez is ready to tell us about recent social media and internet news from Mauritius. The government of Mauritius recently blocked the internet and social media. Jaden, let's start with a basic introduction to Mauritius. What do we need to know about Mauritius before we can discuss the government's decision to suspend social media temporarily?
Mauritius is an island nation in the Indian Ocean, celebrated for its vibrant culture, cultural diversity, pristine beaches, and rich history. The country's population is a unique blend of Indian, African, Chinese, and European heritage, reflected in its languages, cuisines, and festivals. Despite its small size, Mauritius boasts a strong economy driven by tourism, finance, and sugar exports, making it one of Africa's wealthiest nations per capita. With a population of about 1.3 million, it's a democratic country with a strong institutions and a history of free elections. However, like many democracies, it faces challenges when it comes to balancing freedom of speech with social responsibility. While the Constitution guarantees freedom of expression, there has been concerns of over recent laws and government actions that believe restrict press freedom.
Who decided to enforce a temporary ban on social media in Mauritius?
The temporary suspension of social media in Mauritius during the recent elections was enforced by the Information and Communications Technologies Authority, ICTA, following directions from the government. This action was supported by administration and justified as a measure to address national security concerns stemming from the leak of sensitive recordings involving politicians and journalists.
What social media platforms were included during this suspension?
The temporary suspension of social media platforms in Mauritius during the November 2024 elections included all social media platforms, big names such as Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X. This was issued by the ICTA under the justification of addressing illegal postings that posed risk to national security. Internet service providers were ordered to block these platforms from November 1st through November 11th, 2024, the day after the election.
Why did Mauritius suspend social media access?
Mauritius suspended social media access during the November 2024 election due to national security concerns arising from the leaked audios and recordings involving politicians, law enforcement, and journalists. The government claimed these recordings, which spread widely on platforms like Facebook and WhatsApp, were manipulated using artificial intelligence and posed a significant threat to public order. The ban enforced by the ICTA aimed to prevent misinformation and unrest during the political sensitive period.
How did the government of Mauritius justify their decision?
The government of Mauritius justified the suspension of social media by the government of Mauritius justified the suspension of social media access as a necessary measure to protect public safety and the integrity of the electoral process. Officials cited the spread of illegal postings and the potential of these debilitize the nation during a political sensitive period. They also emphasized that the leaked recording posed a severe risk to national security and public order. Additionally, the Prime Minister's office described the move as essential to maintaining social cohesion, arguing that the temporary ban was the country's best interest during the elections. For New Media B, my name is Jaden Nunez. Back to you, Michaela.
Thank you, Jaden. We have more social media news from Africa. Our next report is about two West African nations, Senegal and the Ivory Coast. Are social media platforms being used to promote anti-gay violence in these West African nations?
Welcome back to New Media Beat. My name is Gabrielle Gambuza. I co-produce New Media Beat with Janavi Stripathi. But today I am introducing the next segment because it features our co-hosts, Michaela Rella and Samantha Stock. Michaela and Samantha are here to tell us about social media and anti-gay violence in West Africa. Michaela Rella is ready to explain the situation in Ivory Coast. And Samantha Stock is reporting on Senegal. Michaela, is violence against the LGBTQ plus people a problem in Ivory Coast?
Yes, violence against LGBTQ plus people is a significant issue in Ivory Coast. Many LGBTQ plus individuals have faced discrimination, harassment, and physical attacks. Although the country is one of the few in Africa where same-sex relationships are not criminalized, LGBTQ plus individuals face rising levels of violence and discrimination.
So what role does social media play in the anti-gay violence seen in Ivory Coast?
In parts of West Africa, such as the Ivory Coast, social media has played a huge role in LGBTQ plus hate. This includes different forms of violence and harassment towards these individuals. Influencers have used their platform on apps such as TikTok to spread LGBTQ plus hate, which increases the backlash and attacks on the community. The term woobies has been spread throughout the Ivory Coast as a derogatory term towards homosexual men. This term has been especially seen throughout social media. In a post made on TikTok, it states, "The woobies feel too safe. When we say the hunt is on, you won't believe it. You won't like what's coming. It's not good." This video, published by General Makiso Kamilé in late August, has over 1.7 million views. This video is directly threatening these woobies. General Makiso also posted a video saying these people rape children, are responsible for spreading monkeypox, and deserve 5 years of prison. These are only some of the awful social media posts that directly target these homosexuals and their safety. These social media posts spread like wildfire, which fuels the LGBTQ plus hate and violence.
So how has this hate affected the lives of the LGBTQ plus community?
The ongoing threats and acts of violence have created an environment of fear for this community. LGBTQ plus individuals live with the constant worry of being targeted, humiliated, or attacked in public places. The homophobic diction spread by influencers has not only motivated the violence, but has also encouraged widespread social rejections of LGBTQ plus people. Individuals face verbal harassment in public spaces, such as being insulted and called derogatory terms like wooby scum or dirty woobies. A young LGBTQ plus citizen who sought refuge shares, "I was physically attacked several times and sexually assaulted 3 times. In addition, the New York Times shares that dozens of gay men and transgender people said in interviews that they had been attacked and beaten in Ivory Coast's largest city, Abidjan, after several social media influencers exhorted their followers to hunt woobies. This hate due to the social media outburst has affected the everyday lives of the LGBTQ plus community. These individuals now have a fear of being themselves and, more importantly, are fearful of completing their daily tasks.
How have these individuals advocated for their rights and responded to the hate seen on social media?
Many LGBTQ plus individuals have responded to these hate crimes by offering social media groups that create an open and safe environment for all individuals experiencing hate. This creates a sense of community for these individuals that offers the support this community needs. In Global Voices, it states that anyone who says or sends any offensive, contemptuous, or abusive statements devoid of any factual accusation through an information system is punishable by 1 to 5 years imprisonment and a fine. This helps increase the LGBTQ plus community's right to protection, which is what they have been searching for throughout the last few years. Yet, in a post on X, political advocate Naya Jarvis Zamble shared a small speech explaining how these individuals are a threat to society's fundamental values and the ancestors that came before them. She even wrote, "This is why I'm committed to introducing a bill to the National Assembly as quickly as possible in order to counter the expansion of this phenomenon, which threatens the balance of our society." So although there's a fight to end this LGBTQ plus hate, it becomes nearly impossible to seek freedom when the rest of the country is against them.
Now, taking a look at Senegal, that is also facing similar problems within homophobia and social media, Samantha, how do individuals in Senegal feel about the same-sex relationships and the LGBTQ plus community?
So although homosexuality was never something that was fully accepted in Senegal. Over the past few years, tensions have been rising and individuals of the LGBTQ plus community have felt extremely uncomfortable and unsafe to be who they truly are. Individuals of this community are being targeted and attacked both verbally on social media as well as many individuals who are being physically abused. According to the BBC, a Senegalese court has jailed two men for spreading false news after they accused Ousmane Sonko, the country's new prime minister, of tolerating homosexuality. These two men were put in jail for 3 months with $100,000 fines for each of them. Another article by 76 Crimes goes into depth about how many individuals in Senegal believe that it should be a 15-year sentence rather than a 1 to 5 year sentence for same-sex relations.
What are Senegal's laws on the LGBTQ plus community?
Before Senegal gained independence in 1960, they were a French colony. Because of that, France had the overall say on what laws were going to be, on what the laws were going to be regarding the LGBTQ plus community, and Senegal just had to follow those laws. Once Senegal gained independence, they then had full control over its own legislative process and were now able to make their own laws regarding these same-sex relations. In 1965, laws criminalizing same-sex relationships in Senegal were formally codified in the Senegalese Penal Code. There's still a law in Senegal today, and if individuals engage in same-sex relations, there will be penalties, like I said before, such as jail time from 1 to 5 years.
So what social media platforms are individuals of the LGBTQ plus community being attacked on?
So Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Reddit are all of the social media platforms where these individuals are facing the most hate and judgment. These individuals are often opening their computers and phones to these platforms where they are receiving several hate comments and threats on their lives. Videos of harassment, physical harm, and discrimination are constantly being shown on these platforms daily, as if it's okay to be doing this. A source from 76 Crimes also states, in Senegal, anti-gay hate speech spreads on Facebook without restraint, and abusive posts that are written in Wolof, LGBTQ plus advocates say. It's really a shame that such popular platforms with such a huge audience allow for horrible videos, pictures, and comments like this to be put up. Another article from The Observe states, a mob in a small town in Senegal dug up a body of a man suspected of being gay, dragged his body through town, and then burned it. While doing this, all individuals of Senegal stood around proud, recording their phones to upload to these different social media platforms. The video of this man's body being burned was recorded for millions to see on Instagram Live and then later also uploaded on TikTok. The same article also states, a man explains to the camera in Wolof, then in French, we caught a homosexual and we burned him as the body is seen behind him.
So what is the government doing to solve this issue?
Although not much progress has been made, some individuals of the Senegal government have been taking steps to ensure that individuals of this community feel safe. Bokar Bar, who is a human rights defender in Senegal and also was a founder of the Senegalese LGBT advocacy group, had a lot to say on the hate the LGBTQ plus community has been getting in the past few years. Bokar Bar stated, 3 years later, I have to say that we're back to square one and there's a lack of care for people suffering from homophobia on the spot. As there are many mixed opinions on the LGBTQ plus community and same-sex marriage in Senegal, majority are still against it. It's going to be an ongoing issue to try and get individuals of this community to feel safe in their own skin. As quoted in the article from 76 Crimes, an individual states, I'm ashamed of the lack of solutions for LGBTQ plus people facing violence in my country.
Have these individuals of the LGBTQ plus community found a way to ignore or fight the discrimination and judgment they face on social media?
So there are safe spaces and platforms made for these individuals to express themselves and their feelings without having any harsh reactions. Having this community where these individuals only supported each other really helped and made them feel safe. But it was still extremely hard to ignore all of the hate in Senegal, considering laws remain the same. An article by The Medium states there was also an undercurrent of distaste for homosexuality in Senegal that occasionally found its expression in insults and rock throwing by young people against gorjigen, which was a term used by individuals in Senegal against people that were part of the LGBTQ plus community, which meant a man-woman. These individuals were also being forced to have sex at times by strangers, relatives, family, friends, and the police. Many individuals in Senegal are truly scared to walk out of their houses because of what might happen to them. It's to the point where these individuals are trying to convince themselves out of their own sexualities just so that they can protect themselves.
For New Media Beat, I'm Michaela Rella.
And I'm Samantha Stock. Back to you, Gabrielle.
Thank you, Samantha and Michaela. Let's talk about artificial intelligence in India. Business in India is a big market for AI technology. Which tech giants are competing to dominate the market for AI tech in India? Stick with us to find out.
We have news of artificial intelligence in India from Sophia Tritophilopoulos. India has an enormous population and a giant economy. It is also a technology giant. Indian corporations are hoping to be leaders in artificial intelligence. Who are the major rivals competing to bring AI technologies to the business world in India? What about Microsoft? What can Microsoft offer Indian companies looking to integrate AI technologies into their workflow? Sophia, is there a lot of investment in AI in India?
Yes, there has been a significant investment in artificial intelligence in India in recent years. The country has become a player in the global AI landscape, driven by various factors such as international collaborations, challenges, and opportunities.
What contributes to the amount of tech spending in AI?
The amount of tech spending has several factors that contribute to AI. Businesses increase the investment in AI to help better ideas and improve the products and businesses to help companies stay competitive with other companies. Big tech firms has ramped up spendings according to the recent earnings, as they invest heavily in data centers, custom chips, and network expansion. With the products has been being invested will help with the advancements in AI technology.
How can AI tools like Copilot help companies in India work more efficiently?
By automating activities, improving decision-making, better collaboration, and generating products that benefits across a variety of industries, AI technologies such as a Copilot in the Indian businesses in operating more efficiently. Additionally, organization and offers rapid, simple access to reports, email drafts, and documents summaries.
What are Microsoft's rivals in the Indian AI industry?
Google, Amazon, and Facebook and OpenAI are Microsoft's main competitors in the Indian AI market. These companies are actively striking for market share in India, especially with their AI-powered tools. Microsoft views OpenAI as a rival despite their partnership and investment in the company. For New Media Beat, I am Sophia Chiflapas. Back to you, Samantha.
Thank you, Sophia. The Australian entertainment industry produces a lot of media content, but Australians are streaming a lot of American movies and shows. The Australian government and the Australian media producers are concerned that Australians are watching too much foreign content on streaming platforms. How can the government protect the local entertainment industry from foreign competition on the major streaming services like Netflix and Amazon? The Australian government has a plan to change the rules about what can be shown on streaming services in Australia. Darrell Smith has the news from Australia for New Media Beat today. Darrell, what is the Australian government proposing to do?
All across the world, there has been a call for local quotas to be placed on streaming platforms such as Netflix and Disney Plus, and Australia has now joined the call. This censorship is not to stop the full flow of American content, but these countries like Australia want streaming platforms to focus also on local media as well as their regularly scheduled content, to continue to have their own state individuality. The international campaign argues that the independence and viability of the global screen industry will remain under threat unless mandatory quotas for local content are introduced. Companies around the world also say governments have a responsibility to address these issues in markets, and digital platforms have a cultural responsibility to make fair and proportional contributions to the creation of local content in markets where they are general revenue.
What other countries have called for these quotas to be set?
The other countries that have called for these quotas are Spain, France, Italy, Portugal, Germany, Ireland, New Zealand, Canada, and of course Australia.
And what is the call intended to do?
The call is intended to make the playing field equal for all content and to acknowledge every region, every individual region of content instead of just focus on American.
What has changed as far as content distribution as a result of these quotas?
With these platforms now being forced to include and integrate more local content, Netflix has reached or surpassed the required 30% local content quotas in major markets in Europe, ranking ahead of its global streaming rival, Disney+, which launched back in November 2019, is hovering over 10%. European content mark, but recently been ramped up commissions for local original productions. The study shows that Netflix in the UK and Ireland is lagging behind 27% of European titles, along with France, Belgium, and Switzerland, which are slightly under 30% mark. Sources according to the state say that Netflix UK services would have to either add 408 European titles or remove 953 non-European titles to fulfill the quota promise.
What is the current state of this project?
Though Pickup has been starting to kick off, the transition to more local content has now been placed on hold. The local quotas were a centerpiece of major art policies, which was aimed to rejuvenate the local industry after the pandemic, and released nearly 2 years ago. However, concerns about the then policy might interact with Australian fees, trade deal with the United States being pointed to as a primary concern. Advocates for local content rules have accused the streaming platforms of seeking to weaponize the trade deal to block changes the plans have already been delayed by months, with the government initially hoping to have the new rules in place by July 1st, 2023. Some industry stakeholders now expect the policy to be delayed with late new year at the earliest after the federal election. For New Media Beat, I'm Darrell Smith. Back to you, Samantha.
Thank you, Darrell. That's it for the week.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. Thanks to our co-producers, Gabrielle Gambuza, Genevieve Shrapathy, and Jaden Nunez, who engineered the show today. My co-hosts today are Gabrielle Gambuza and Samantha Stock.
Thanks, Michaela. Today we heard reports from Jaden Nunez, Michaela Rella, Hannah Rodriguez, Darrell Smith, Samantha Stock, and Sophia Tudor-Philopoulos.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at State University of New York College at Old Westbury. For New Media Beat, for more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed. Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next on OWWR Old Westbury Radio. Thank you.